Hi, I'm James Arnold. I'm Co-Global Head of Strategic Insights and Advisory at UBS. I'd like to welcome back listeners who heard our previous podcast on the importance of sustainability in banking, and of course, welcome anybody new to this series. Today, I'm joined by Gareth McCartney, who is Global Co-Head of Equity Capital Markets. And so we're going to talk about the outlook for primary capital raisings on equity markets. And by that, we mean IPOs and we mean rights issues. So welcome, Gareth. Capital markets are volatile. Primary market activity has been low. But where are we on that journey towards a reopened market?
Thanks, James. Generally, as you highlight, the ECM market is inherently cyclical. It tends to peak either at times of extreme optimism when growth is in fashion and we see a lot of IPOs, or indeed when markets are more challenging and companies look to the equity market to raise capital, either to repair their balance sheet or insulate their balance sheet ahead of potentially tougher times ahead. If you look back and take just the IPO market, we were closed for roughly 18 months post the financial crisis. We're effectively 2 years into the current malaise as it stands at the moment. So I think everything else equal, I would put us currently in the gradually returning to a normalized and reopened market, but we're at the early stages of that currently.
I mean, interesting, and perhaps I can be accused of being overly simplistic here, but is it the case that markets are never really just open or shut? It's never quite as binary as that.
I agree fully. I think it's very easy for the narrative to be open or closed. The reality is, I think it comes down to the specific asset that you're looking at. For world-class assets, and we saw this last year with the IPO of Porsche here in Europe, there is always a market available. But I think what the regular issuers into the IPO market, particularly private equity, are looking for is a normalized market where you're seeing a number of IPOs printing. We've got lots of data points to observe with regards to where valuation sits and where investor appetite sits. And that's why I would say, yes, it's not binary, but equally, a open market would see a number of issues with a constant stream of different sectors being represented, as opposed to at the moment where we're seeing one-off deals happen generally for world-class assets, but we're not in a, what I would say, functioning and open market yet.
I mean, you touched there on different sectors, so let's get our crystal balls out for a second here and think over the next sort of 12 to 24 months. And so, you know, when you're doing your planning for your teams across the globe, where are we thinking in terms of sectors or geographies that are likely to see the most primary activity?
Yeah, I think sponsors are generally a good proxy for what we're likely to see over the coming 12, 18, 24 months. And if I just look at what their portfolios hold today, and therefore are likely to be the IPOs of tomorrow, I would drill down on software, on business services, on healthcare services, and then also, I think, selectively, some of the other industrial assets and consumer assets. But I think this is really going to be driven by healthcare and technology on a global basis.
Perhaps changing direction slightly, interest rates are back to sort of, I guess, pre-financial crisis highs if you look at the US. And so me with my cynical hat on, I'm slightly surprised that we haven't seen more rights issues, more balance sheet repair, as you referred to earlier. Why do you think we're not seeing that in listed equity markets, or perhaps has that shifted to private equity markets given the growth in that industry over the last decade or so?
I think you're absolutely right. I think there are three themes that are driving markets overall, whether it's deglobalization and the impact on supply chains, decarbonization and the impact on inflation, and then fundamentally this generational repricing of interest rates. The reason why I think we haven't yet seen some of the primary issuance we were expecting is, I think, really a function of the debt markets for a long time have been functioning and offering very cheap credit to our corporate clients as a whole. We're still in a period where actually that financing is available because we haven't yet got to the maturity of some of that debt. And it looks really like 2024 will be when the rubber hits the road a little bit more from a balance sheet perspective as those corporates look to refinance in the debt market. And I think that's when we'll see the rebalancing of equity versus debt in their balance sheet structures. And that's where I would expect, particularly if we have any more stress or strain from a more adverse economic outlook, I think that's when we'll start to see more of those primary raises coming through, in the same way we saw post-financial crisis with the banks, and also post-COVID with a whole wide range of industries where they look to the equity market to shore up balance sheets into the COVID crisis that we saw.
And with that backdrop for 24 in terms of rights issues and IPOs, it could actually be an exceptionally busy year for primary capital. But perhaps to finish up with a subject that you and I have spent plenty of time debating this year, is the perceived attractiveness of the US as a place to do equity raising, to do IPOs, particularly when compared to the UK. And so I guess I'd just be curious as to your latest thoughts on that particular debate.
It is, I think, the single most prevalent topic that we're addressing with particularly private equity and other issuers of growth companies. So it's absolutely pervasive in the discussions that we're having. My view is always that each individual company has specific factors that are very relevant. So it really is a case of case by case, going through the equity story, going through the objectives of the sellers and understanding what the right advice actually is. If you look at the question in aggregate in the general case, I think there's no doubt that there are serious attractions with the US market. But if you're a foreign issuer issuing into the US market and you look at just the facts and some of the data of the examples we've seen over the last 2 to 3 years where companies have gone to the US and listed, it's not as clear cut a case as you might think up front. So again, I would say in the general case, we should review the facts, and therefore it comes back to the company specific objectives. But there's by no means a default answer that the US is the right answer relative to potentially Europe, depending on your individual objectives.
Brilliant, Gareth. That was absolutely fascinating, and obviously a huge amount for you to do over the next 12 to 24 months by the sound of things. So look, thank you very much for your time today. And thank you to everybody that's listened to this podcast.